For this second conference, as I mentioned yesterday, we will follow one of the topics laid out by St. Louis Marie de Montfort, and that is the scary topic of knowledge of self. This seems like it ought not be a daunting task, because after all, have we not lived with ourselves our whole life? It seems like we should know ourselves. But this is really one of the most difficult tasks of our life if we are to do it properly. And we have to view this knowledge of self from God's perspective. We might say, another way of looking at this is, how do I stand before Almighty God? How does He see me? We tend as human beings to kid ourselves quite a lot. It's not that we deliberately try to lie and cover up our faults, but human nature is always trying to make excuse. And so we set about the task today of trying our best to see how we stand before God. There was a story that I remember hearing in a sermon, and I believe that this was presented as a true story. There was a very holy monk, and he was renowned in his monastery as being very, very humble, very saintly. In fact, they revered him as somewhat a living saint. This monk was gifted even with visions. He would talk from time to time with our Lord. And one of these times, he was gifted a vision. He was talking with our blessed Lord. And he thought in his humility that he would ask Almighty God for a great favor. He asked for the favor of being able to see his own soul as God sees it, for then he could know what he needed to work on. Christ remonstrated with him, "Are you sure that you want to see yourself as I see you?" He was sure. And so he was granted this grace by Christ, an illumination of the mind, and he saw himself just as he was before God. He was so overwhelmed with disgust and with fear. The story goes that his hair turned instantly white. And ever after this, he was in a terrible fit of fever, and it was only a few days before he died. Now, I don't believe that this is the story of a canonized saint, and not to say that this story detracts from the holiness of this monk. But the lesson is clear. As holy as he was, in comparison to the infinite perfections of God, how are we to compare? amazingly, startlingly, our Blessed Mother in private revelation, I believe this was to St. Catherine of Genoa, our Blessed Mother referred to herself as filth when compared to Almighty God. We know that she is immaculate and perfect. But if we are to view her, she is great only because, as she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. In comparison to him, she is as nothing. And she told this saint as much because, trying to impress upon her, we need to be humble. We need to realize that we are not all that. In fact, we have a lot to work on. It's an analogy that I like to use, especially during retreats. We see in nature, it's a part of life in this part of the country, even more so in other places like California, but forest fires are an inevitability. And they can be tragic if there's the loss of homes, and especially if there's the loss of life. But for the overall health of the forest, they're necessary. Sometimes the overgrowth or the undergrowth becomes too thick. The forest becomes unhealthy from bugs or disease or some other reason. The fire seemingly destroys the forest, but in reality, it sets the slate fresh. It's a new beginning. There's even nitrogen and good things that come to the soil after a fire. And then, it's only then that new growth can come up and be vibrant. And so I bring this up because this is the concept for this talk this morning. We need to burn ourselves down. This is an idea that the world, of course, is not going to like very much. You hear this so often. It's like, what is with the negativity of these Catholics? They're all about the world is awful and I'm awful and sin and depravity. That's coming from a world that has its head buried in the sand. It's coming from a world that has as its highest good carnal pleasure. It's coming from a world that is content with ignoring the truth of eternity. And so it's not correct, it's not healthy to be always negative. In fact, there's an incredible amount to give us joy, to give us courage. As we talked yesterday about our Blessed Mother, how awesome the things that we have been given through our Catholic faith. But as Sacred Scripture tells us, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That there is a salutary fear that we ought to have. St. Paul says that we must work out our salvation in fear and trembling. We cannot be soft. We cannot bury our head in the sand. We have to come to grips with the stern reality of the war that is going on between good and evil, the war over our immortal souls. And so, we're going to take a magnifying glass. We're going to look intently. We're going to be honest with ourselves, with Almighty God as our witness. To the best of our ability, we're going to come to a better knowledge of self. Now, there are two main headings that I would like to address regarding knowledge of self. We could go on and on and on. We could talk all day and longer about the pitfalls, the difficulties that we face with our human nature. We could talk a long time indeed about our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But for this talk, I wanted to focus just on two headings with a few subheadings. First, the greatest of all evils, one that, with the exception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we all struggle with. Without exception, no matter temperament, no matter the level of holiness, we all struggle with pride. Pride can truly be called the foundation, the beginning of all sin, because by pride we put ourselves before Almighty God and His laws. But I wanted to discuss a few facets of pride, beginning from what might be considered least offensive to most offensive. And again, let's make an honest appraisal as we go through these things. Do I suffer from any of these faults? And then after the conference, we can start to hash out what are some ideas to overcome these faults, concrete things. So beginning with what could be considered, generally speaking, as the least offensive is vanity. And I speak here of physical vanity. We're not talking about vanity of talent, etc., yet, but just even physical vanity. It is true that God gave us beauty. It's a reflection of His goodness. And God gave, in varying degrees, beauty to His creation. And this is something that I believe is sort of wired into our hearts, our understanding. It's also informed by culture, by our upbringing, by many different factors. But beauty is something that we know when we see it. For whatever reason, we can't really describe why, maybe, but there is quite a difference between a swan gliding gracefully down a river and a tarantula. One we perceive as beautiful, the other one you have to be a little strange to perceive as beautiful, but, and there's a wide variety. And this is true of the human beings that God created too. Every soul is equally beautiful in its creation. Every soul is infinitely precious to Almighty God because He shed His precious blood for it. But there is still a variety of what we consider beautiful with fellow human beings. And so, is it wrong to appreciate what is beautiful? Is it wrong to appreciate what is beautiful, even if you consider God blessed me in a moderate way with decent looks? No, because it was God who did that. If we consider that, okay, that is not one of the things that God gave me, fine. There are other gifts that He has given you, no doubt. The antithesis, the solution to vanity, of course, as with all facets of pride, is humility, because the realization must be, God made me the way that I am. And if I find that I'm overcome with the desire to spend hours and hours, maybe not that long, but it becomes a distraction. Overdoing, perhaps, the makeup, the hair, the clothes. God wants us to look good, but I think in our conscience we know that there is a line. The real evil of vanity is taking to ourselves anything that is good, especially when we compare with others. So something to consider. Do we give in to that fault in any way? If so, we need to work on humility. Now, even more offensive than this love of physical things, of physical beauty, is that vanity of ability, vanity of talent, and especially when it comes to the treatment or the judgment of others. What a wicked thing to consider, that I am better than someone else. Now, it is a matter of fact that we might be better at something than someone else. There are those of us that might be decent at drawing and art. There are those that can't draw a stick figure properly. That's just, again, God's gifts that he gives freely. But as soon as it becomes that puffing up, that feeling of vanity, and the desire to show off or to compare with others, this is a truly wicked thing. Because are we not then stealing? This is, in my estimation, a form of theft. Because we're taking what is God's. How annoying is it? So I'll give you a little instance here, and this is a really silly example. But I have a feeling it can. There are other things that will. You'll think, oh, I heard of something like that. When I was a sophomore in high school, it was a big deal to get to go down to the corner gas station, QT, and just get some cheap fountain drinks. And they had the entire gamut of possible drinks. We thought that this was the coolest gas station ever. And so that became somewhat a challenge to see who could come up with the best mixture of drinks. And so I, in my infinite wisdom, combined a certain thing, and it was Rooster Booster and a Red Mountain Dew, I think. And it was a tasty drink. And so I was like, hey, this is pretty good, don't you think? And it made the circles around the friends. And it wasn't long before a certain other friend was like, I came up with the best drink. It's Rooster Booster and Red Mountain Dew. It's the best thing ever. It's like, I showed you that. But he's the one that got all the credit. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, you definitely win the best drink award. That's wow. It's like, again, a very silly example. But how many times in our lives have we experienced something similar? It's not just to take the credit for something someone else has done. So on a far greater scale, an infinitely greater scale, why would we think to take the credit for something that God gave us? And how tragic. When we do that, it almost always puts someone else out, makes them feel small. It's a bad idea, this vanity. Now, in my list of subheadings, again, we could talk for a long, long time, but I only has sort of three subcategories. What I have here is the most offensive to God under the heading of pride is what the spiritual writers term the pride of life. And this seems like it's maybe a restatement of what has been said, but, and it's a subtle concept, so hopefully I can try to explain well. But they term this the pride of life, and we might say that this is any kind of self-love or any kind of love or preoccupation in things or comforts, to the degree that it takes us away from God. Now, it's a basic concept, but what I believe we need to set about doing is finding, where does this seep into my own life? Basically, this is against the first commandment, and this is why it is the most offensive to God. And we see this so plainly in the world. How people take to themselves strange gods, whether it be their job, a career, becoming the richest man or woman alive. You see, especially young men who make fitness and bodybuilding their god. And when taken to the extreme like this, it's easy to see. But let us not be like the Pharisee, pointing at them and saying, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like these. But no, let's think carefully. Does this creep into my life in any way? Even if it's not in a grievous way, still, we cannot allow distractions, anything that will take us further away from God. We might consider creature comforts. We can become almost obsessed sometimes with being the right temperature. Now, God has blessed us this week with clement weather. I remember 2 years ago, it was the hottest week of the entire summer. I think that it was over 100 degrees most of the days of the ladies' retreat. And so it was hard to find a cool spot. And human nature would have you thinking about that. It's like, well, it's reasonable to be a comfortable temperature. But do we pamper ourselves? Do we think too much? Do we get too bothered if we're a little bit warm or a little bit too cool? Do we then let it make us cranky? Then we lash out to other people. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just hot. I don't think that that's a very good excuse. We're letting a love of comfort get in the way of our sanctity, I believe. And there are other such things. Maybe it's the TV. Maybe you feel like you really need that downtime. You need to just sit and relax and unwind. Reasonable. But then maybe that is the excuse given to allow for the horrific commercials or for TV shows that are not very Catholic. Or maybe we overdo it and spend hours in front of the TV or the computer or on our phones. That's quite the topic. I've thought of saying this recently in sermons, just Sunday sermons. I have to think of how to phrase it. And it doesn't work so well with you because you did give your phones to Sister for the duration of retreat. But I thought, you know, on these modern phones, they have all of the statistics. It shows you exactly how much screen time and the hours used, or minutes even, on what app. I thought of saying, okay, after Mass today, I'm going to bring a basket up, and I want you to bring your phone. Father Casimir and I are going to go through your statistics and see how you've been doing. It's like, how many people would be like, I think I need to, I've got something to do, Father, can't, there would be many different excuses to not turn in your phone. Is that not a little instance of pride of life? It's a thing. Does becoming a distraction can be used for good. There are good uses for technology, we know that. But ask yourself honestly, do I need to do something a little better with my time? This life is short. St. Peter will go through your phone and see the statistics. We would be very sad if we wasted incredible amounts of time. So we can go through, I suggest, make that determination today. Go through your typical day. Think about, okay, where are the little instances where this pride of life, this distraction from Almighty God, is creeping in? Maybe it's regarding food. Maybe it's regarding sleep. But be honest. Ask your guardian angel to help you go through your day. How your guardian angel would love to help. So the other main heading I have here for things to discuss regarding knowledge of self, self-examination. So we have pride, and there are many different things to discuss with pride. It really covers quite a bit. But the other main heading here is laziness. We are so lazy. It's an incredible thing. There are, I'm sure, many of us here who have been raised as Catholics, even maybe traditional Catholics. We were taught our catechism when we were ankle biters. We were taught our prayers from the time we could speak. We know so much. We hear heavenly truths from the pulpit every Sunday. Hopefully we do our spiritual reading. We know exactly how to become saints. But we don't do it. There is a deep laziness within all of us. There, of course, are varying degrees. Temperament makes a difference. Raising makes a difference. Maybe we struggle less than some other people. Maybe we struggle more. But I think it is confident to say, even if we don't, it's not a big deal in our day-to-day. Maybe we do get our work done. The house is orderly. We do as well as we can at our job. But I believe it is safe to say, in our spiritual lives, there is a deep laziness. And how can I say that with confidence? Because we're not saints. Yet, we will continue to work. But if we just put into practice all of the things that we know, we indeed would be saints. Sister would have to order lots of lassos for ladies' retreat for all the levitating that would happen. We're not saints yet. We want to be, but we have to get to work. Some practical helps with this laziness. Now, I'm sure you know that in keeping your household in working order, that organization is an important thing. You really have to be organized. And really, the more organized, almost the better. Things just go really well when you're organized. You don't want to become frantic and OCD about things, but if there is order, things are going to work out. It's a very ancient understanding. Even pre-Christian cultures would style their idea of evil, what we would say, of course, as the devil, as the agent of chaos, that always evil is associated with chaos. And so on the other side of this, of course, orderliness is godly. Of course, the old saying, cleanliness is next to godliness. We might say orderliness is next to godliness. This, just even practically speaking, is an enormous help against that laziness. And so we might think in a practical level, and that would be appropriate during retreat. How can I better order my life? How can I keep up with chores and family life, motherhood? How can I do that in a more efficient way? But we want to consider here most of all spiritual orderliness. I count myself as very blessed indeed to be a member of a religious congregation. And one of the sort of foundational things to being a religious is that you are obedient, you are attached, as it were, to your holy rule. And your rule is, just as it says, it's a rule of life. All of these things that ought to be done must not be done. And we make a vow of obedience, to be faithful to these rules and faithful and obedient to our superiors. But as a part of this rule of life, we have even a very regimented daily routine. We wake at the same time. We pray morning prayers together at the same time. Divine office, holy mass, midday examination, rosary, vespers, again, divine office. Even have recreation together at a set time. Night prayers together, and then silence. And it is a beautiful thing, and there's no mistake. The wisdom of our Holy Mother, the Church, knows exactly the difficulty that souls face in laziness and chaos. And so that is why there is such a strictly regimented routine for religious. So if this is so important, so good, and so useful for religious, why not for everyone else? Now we know, of course, it has to be augmented. It cannot be the same exact routine, but the concept is solid. I would suggest very strongly to come up with a daily routine for your spiritual duties. If you do not already have one, try to have a set time for things. And now, mothers of families, I know that this is quite the challenge, because who knows when the kiddos are going to wake up, or when, if they're going to go to bed when they should. There's a lot of different variables. But we can certainly try. And if the chaos, the not evil chaos of motherhood, is not a problem, well, then there's no excuse. We ought to have a regimented day to make the habit absolute first thing when you wake. Try to wake at the same time. Even psychologically, this is a powerful practice to make sure that you have the same sleep pattern every day, if it's at all possible. So wake at the same time. Kneel immediately to pray your morning prayers, even before you make your bed. Try to think realistically where in your day you can pause. And it might be worth looking at, or we can even discuss later, what are some of the typical things in the day of a religious that we consider most important? One of them, I believe, and this is across the board, every order and congregation implements what they call midday examination, that we try to break midday about noon or so, center ourselves again. Go over the morning. How did the morning go? Did I follow through with my resolutions? What's the afternoon going to be like? Ask for help. Just a little pause, 5 minutes. But let me tell you, it takes quite a bit of willpower, probably a lot of reminders, to make this a habit. But what a perfect and a beautiful way to overcome spiritual laziness. As I mentioned upstairs yesterday, we forget so quickly. It's a big part of our problem. We want to be thinking about God. We want to become a saint. We want to be talking to him, but we get busy. But habits can be formed. Thought processes can change. As I mentioned last night, we absolutely can retrain ourselves. Another practical tip regarding this implementing a regimen is start simply. Don't overwhelm yourself. Make goals that are fairly easy to do and stick with them until it is absolutely habit, until it's really by rote. It's a part of your day and you don't even have to worry about it anymore. Then we can, okay, add the next thing. Start simply and make that habit gradual. This is, in almost every instance, how the saints became saints. You have those rare examples of an overnight or in an instant conversion, like a Saint Paul. But almost all of the saints tried just a little harder today than they did yesterday. They built upon little successes. And so we can do it too. Another key here. I would like to continue with this topic and the implementation of prayer in our daily life. Father Casimir, I believe this afternoon, is going to give a conference on prayer. And so I'm very grateful to him that he's going to cover this most important topic. And then I would like to add to this concept of prayer the idea of mortification. This is something taught us by Christ, practiced by all of the saints, reminded. Our Blessed Mother at Fatima reminded us to do penance, to add penances to our prayers. And what is the importance of penance? What is penance? How can we practice it? It is a sure antidote to the vice of laziness. And so we will discuss this further. But today, I hope that you can spend some time in solid reflection. Again, go through a typical day. Ask Almighty God to enlighten your mind. Perhaps it's not good for us, like that holy monk, to see exactly as we stand before God, but that he help us to see more so that we can know where we need to work. Step by step, we can come closer to him. And we must not forget, throughout all of this, to walk hand in hand with our mother. Remember, it is she who will bring us to her son. If we have time, even consider those vices in reference to our Blessed Mother. How was she the exact opposite of pride? How did she completely conquer the vice, the very human vice of laziness? Let us ask for her help. Let us pray, Almighty God, that he help us today and every day to become saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.